yesterday began, we did yesterday the Gra, and we did the Ibn Ezra. We're in the middle of the Ibn Ezra, okay? In the middle. The Ata Ermais Luchasite. Let's continue. We left on page 403. Page 403. The Ata, and now Ermais Luchasite. Let me tell you a secret. Okay, it's in the middle. It's the second, well, the third paragraph on 403 of the Ibn Ezra. Let me hint to you a secret. Yesh oise charuzim b'soladatoi b'li limud. There are people who make charuzim b'talmudoi b'li limud. Charuzim means they make they make just like rhymes. They learn on a very light level. They don't go into depth to fully comprehend what they're learning. The yei shehu tzarich limud.
Superficial.
And the yeshu tzarech limud, there are things that require great depth, of a great application of study. V'chasher yikabel kocha yuchal shelo lekabel. And when a person accepts upon himself to do such a thing, shelo lekabel, v'nokel hu acharin min harishim. See, all of these things, I always shy away from this many times. I don't have familiarity with his language. Let's just go try to get the gist of what he's trying to say. When Hashem appeared to Avram Avinu and told him to take Yitzhak to the Akedah, he took the Macheles. Period. V'chasher chipasti b'chol hamikol emotzasi milas bericha rak deveka el milas pinei. Okay, so he's going from one thing to the next. We have here the word barach. Okay, we discussed this yesterday. Yoina in pasik gimel vayakam yoina livroyach. It says here the word bericha. Bericha is only found in connection with the word from the presence. K'moy miponecho evroch, vayivroch yiftach mipnei ochiv. V'hine lo imotzasti b'nevu yoyne shaborach mipnei Hashem, rak milifnei Hashem. The word bericho here in this pasuk is not used in connection with the word the pnei Hashem, but rather milifnei Hashem. The Ibn Ezra is coming to split here. So he's coming to say over here that it's a different type of bericho. The Chosef, Chai Hashem, okay, another example, Asher Amadati Lifonov, V'hinei Kol Zman Shu Mekabel, that we have over here, he's just giving another example of Lifonov. When a person is in the presence of Hashem, either he is Bifnei Hashem, or he is Lifnei Hashem. Two very delicate expressions. When you stand before Hashem, what are you standing before? Every day we daven Shmoyne Esra, you Oymed Lifnei HaMelech, the Amida. Amida is called Amida. Is it Bifnei HaMelech or Lifnei HaMelech? I don't remember. What does Chazal say? It's very nafkmina now. Amida, I don't remember. Bifnei or Lifnei? That's the same word. That's Lifon, Milifnei and Pinei. There's a Lamid before the Pinei. Sometimes we have the Miponecha, and sometimes we add a Lamid. He's telling us there's a major difference. We have here an expression in Melachim, Chai Hashem Asher Omadeti Lifonov. V'nei kol zman shehu mikabel hu lifnei Hashem, the koch of Ayetze Kai milifnei Hashem. He gives us examples. Kai. Okay, lifnei. Lifnei melech malchei hamlachim. Very good. The lamed. Very good. Let's go further. Let's try to piece together some of these mystery words over here. Vayetze kain milifnei Hashem, alkein acharav, umiponecha esoser, ki pinei ho adama lifnei Hashem. Okay, I'm just reading the book. I can't stitch everything together. We get the gist of what it's trying to say. Lovai bin nikrois hatsulim uvinikiki hatsulim mipnei. Here it is, mipnei pachar Hashem. V'chaz lovai imachem tarshisha milifnei Hashem. V'amaskilim yovinu. Okay, so look what he did over here. He just threw out a whole bunch of words, but I think what he's trying to tell us over here is he's coming to give an answer. He's telling us a new yesod. Not like the Ga'on from yesterday. the Ibn Ezra is teaching us is that a Navi cannot escape the Pinei Hashem. But a Navi is permitted to escape Mi Lifnei Hashem. He's coming to differentiate two different types of visions, two different types of experiences. If you are in an experience where you are in the presence of Hashem that is defined with the term Bifnei, with the letter Beis, or the letter Mem, Mipinei, or Bifnei Hashem, then there is no escape. If you are not in control of your body, you have no choice but to obey Hashem's command. But if the experience that you are having is defined in terms of the word Lifnei Hashem, that's lightweight. That's a different type of experience where the Navi in the rules, in the encyclopedia, in the playbook, in the set of rules of Nevuah, a Navi has a choice not to obey the command. Now, I'll give you an example. The Avram Avinu, this is a very classic example, but there the example is much, much different because of a particular word. The Avram Avinu, Hashem appears, Avram Avinu, and says, Avram Avinu, I want you to bring Yitzchak to the Akedah. Was Avraham Avinu obligated to do so?
No,
because it says the word no. Kach no es bincha es yechidcha asher hafta es Yitzchak. The word no means it's your choice. Ein no ela l'shoin bakasha. So here you have a vision where Hashem is asking Avraham Avinu to do something, and yet is giving him a choice. Now, isn't that an oxymoron? How in the world, if Hashem comes to you, Hashem created you, Hashem created the whole world, there is nothing in this world but Hashem, and this is what He wants. Because if it was not what He wants, He wouldn't ask you. If a person comes to you and asks you for a favor, the person doesn't necessarily know what he wants. You don't necessarily have the ability to help him. So there are a million reasons why you can say no. But Hashem knows everything. Hashem created the world. He created you. He knows what's going on in your mind. He knows what you're capable of. He knows what you're not capable of. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to you and says, I want you to do something, don't you think you should do it?
But there was a reason. I read one shot was Hashem told him, look, I don't want you and me to be embarrassed in front of the guy and the Lord.
Put that aside. The bottom line of it is, if Hashem comes to you and says, I want you to do something, what does it mean you have a choice? How could Hashem say to Avraham Avinu, kach no? If you want. If you don't want, you don't have to. Then don't take...
There's a strong request and there's a command.
But that's very good by a human being. Because by a human being, no one really knows what's going on in the mind of someone else. If I come to you and I ask you for money, I don't know how much. I don't know if you could afford to give me. I don't know if you could afford to help me. I don't know if you want to. I don't know your mindset. And you don't know my mindset. You don't know, well, why do I want money? Maybe I'm a sick person. I have this pleasure in taking money from someone, even though I may have stashed away $1 billion somewhere. You don't know. No. No one knows. No one. When it comes to a regular request, there are many, many reasons why you can deny someone's demand for a favor. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you think about it very deeply, it doesn't make any sense.
It does. Because, look, two things are happening in this dialogue. One is, he's talking about you're going to kill that guy.
Yeah.
I'm asking you to kill somebody.
Okay.
It was against the whole teva of Avraham Avinu.
Who created the world? Who created the world? This is not Reuven and Shimon. This is the Ribbono Shel Olam. He created Avram. He created Yitzchak. He knows what's going on in my mind. What do you mean Hashem went?
Where does Hashem ask anybody? Where do we have a right?
Hashem is unlimited.
Wherever else Hashem is, sacrifice.
You're coming to limit Hashem? You're coming to limit Hashem?
No. We're trying, what Mr. Miller says is correct. The difference between a strong request.
By a human being. There's a Reuven and a Shimon, and Reuven makes a request, and Shimon says there's a strong request, and there's a lightweight request. Absolutely. When you're dealing with two human beings, I fully get it. But when you're dealing with the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's his world. He created the world. He created you. He created the situation. He knows, and he knows. And yet, he comes and he says, "Do this." How can you differentiate between?
I don't think see that Hashem asks some things of a person. Everything you're saying, everything, Mamash, Hashem will ask you to kill somebody.
Then don't ask me to do it. If Hashem is asking me, it means because this is what Hashem wants.
So but Hashem says no.
Oh, so it doesn't make any sense. It's one of the most.
He said no.
It does exactly. So you know, we're brainwashed. Like we don't think deep. If you delve deeply into this matter, this is an impossibility. Just like what's the other dilemma in the world? If Hashem knows the future, how can there possibly be free will? How can there be free will? If Hashem knows what I'm going to do in the future, what does that mean exactly?
Well, we can't comprehend what
that exactly.
Means.
We can't comprehend what that means. But we have to at least acknowledge. We have to at least acknowledge, at least that much, that our limited understanding of how what Hashem gave us, this is impossible. It is impossible for a human being to understand how there can be free will when we accept the fact that Hashem knows what the future is going
Hashem
to bring.
Hashem controls Paro and hardened his heart. So why couldn't Hashem control Moshe and the snare? And in this case,
okay, that's a separate question. That's a side question.
That's a side question.
That's a different topic. Let's just discuss this principle.
That's a whole different topic.
Let's discuss this principle. Hashem knows the future. I know. How can man then have free will? Everyone across the board answers and absolutely, this is impossible. This is a head-on contradiction. There's nothing you can do to get out of this contradiction. And we have to acknowledge that this is an impossibility for us. And the only thing is Hashem is outside of our world. Hashem has a different set of rules. Hashem is in a different league. We can't relate. A human being cannot relate to this. Likewise, this is exactly the same impossibility. How can Hashem say to Avram Avinu, I want you to do something, but you don't have to do it. I've given you a choice. Kachno. If Hashem wants something, that means you have to do it. What do you mean, kachno? Ein no elo l'shoin bakasha. You don't have to do it. It doesn't make sense to us. Along comes Ibn Ezra. What?
That's why it's a
nisayon,
because he wanted to see.
But besides the nisayon, what's the no? Either I want you to do it, so the nisayon is I'm not going to do what you want. I don't. That's the nisayon. You're telling me to take my son and kill my son? No way. Get lost. That's the nisayon. For Hashem to add into the nisayon kachna, you don't have to do it. If you want to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. That is apart from the nisayon. Okay. So now that I decide to do it. That's a very big nisayon. It would be exactly the same nisayon if Hashem would say to Avraham Avinu, do it. What is Hashem doing by saying, no, ain't no el loshem akashe? Either you want or you don't want. If Hashem wants, because he's telling me to do it, he wants. So if he wants, what is Hashem saying? I don't really want. You don't have to do it. Okay, I don't want to delve into this more now. We have to go back there. The point over here is, we have exactly the same contradiction here in the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra is grappling with the most fundamental question of Sefer Yoinah. How can a Navi disobey a direct order? That is the question. We've already gone through a whole series of approaches. One is, that's right. He gives up his life, al-Kiddush Hashem. The Ibn Ezra is not very happy, and he brings down from the Gaon, whoever this Gaon may be, a fascinating answer that of course he did what Hashem told him to do, without question. Hashem told me to go to Nineveh and to deliver a message. He did it. He did it, because you can't disobey a direct order. And the story continues. He went to Nineveh, he did it. And I was Yoitse Yidei Chayvasai Bidiyevin Yoitse. I'm out of here. He was on the next bus out. Vayivrach. Hashem says, where are you going? Get back there and do it again. Don't. I want you to do it b'shleimos. I don't want you to do it. Don't be Yoitse Bidiyevin. Ibn Ezra rejected that because if you do it, you do it 100%. You don't go 50-50. And now he comes along and we try to just break through his words, which I don't really, I can't go. But basically he's splitting hairs and he's telling us something similar to what the Malbim said, is that there are different experiences of Nevuah. There's an experience of Nevuah that is defined in the term called Bifnei Hashem. And there's an experience called Lifnei Hashem. One is lightweight, one is intense. The principle that you may not disobey a direct order is only the intense. The intense one called Bifnei Hashem. But when you're only Lifnei Hashem, there is a different set of rules. And you're allowed to disobey just like Avraham was allowed to. Kachno. How does it answer the question? I don't know. It's similar to what we learned in the Malbim. The Malbim said when Hashem gave him the first instructions, he didn't give him a direct order. He said a suggestion. It was not a direct order. You know, it might be a good idea for you to go to Nineveh and see what's doing there and give them some Musa. Nah, it might be a good idea. Hashem, I'm not interested, for whatever the reasons are. Later in the Sefer, when Hashem gives him a direct order, then he has no choice. So Ibn Ezra is doing something very similar to what the Malbim did and the Mitzudas did. It's just finessing it a little differently. Instead of telling us Hashem did not give a direct order, it was more of a suggestion. He's saying that, no, Hashem gave a direct order. Let's not make any mistake about that. But you have to know the rules of prophecy. And there's something called Bifnei, something called Lifnei. All right, let's stop over here. We'll continue Mirtz Hashem after Pesach. And then we'll take a short break now. We'll learn a little Haggadah.